He said, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, Luke 8:40, that the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And all those that wait on Christ do so patiently and gladly. And the Bible talks about waiting on the Lord in Psalms 27:14. Said, and behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. Now, this man mentioned being a ruler of the synagogue had to forget about all of his standing, put that aside, and all of the criticism that might, that might go along with what he's doing. He had to put all that aside in order to press to Jesus the case of his daughter before this multitude. And Jairus, he boldly acknowledged the power of Jesus, and his faith here is manifested because he come to the Lord in desperate faith. And a stroke of sorrow broke through in this appeal to Jesus. And men who would not serve Him in other days will now make appeal for His help because of this circumstances, this sorrow, this sickness. How sad it is that we wait so long to put aside public opinion and criticism of friends before acknowledging our need of the Master's assistance. In Acts 8:36, that Ethiopian eunuch told Philip, he said, "What doeth hinder me?" And there's always going to be something that you're going to have to put out of the way. The blind man Bartimaeus, the Bible said that he put aside his garments, his begging garments, and he come to Jesus. But in this situation here, he put everything aside. He didn't care about the fact he was a ruler. He didn't care about his pride. He didn't care about public criticism. Man, he had all that put aside so he could come to the Lord because his daughter's dying. And that's the way we need to look at things. You know, sometimes circumstances outweigh all criticism. But there's a note of desperation in this appeal of Jairus. And he makes urgency this matter by falling down to Jesus' feet. And it is an urgent matter. I'll tell you what circumstances have called me to have urgency. I remember one time a storm was beating down our house. And at the time I wasn't too worried about it. But the closer it got, the louder it got, more concerned now, God, I'm sitting there in my family trying to trust in the Lord. Now, I knew that verse, Psalm 56:3, "What time I'm afraid, I'll trust in Thee." I knew that. But it just kept getting louder and kept pressing down our house to the point I couldn't take it no longer. And I got up, went back, running back there to get back here in my bedroom, Carolyn, and get down on my knees and pray. But before I could get even to my bedroom, I mean, it hit real hard right there at the house. And I had to stop where I was right there and fall down and pray. I knew I needed to pray. And sometimes the urgency of the matter causes you, to be desperate about seeking the Lord. And we do need to. Verse 42 said he had only one daughter. I was the only child. My mom, my dad spoiled me to death. But in Jairus' case, that's all he had. He had one daughter. And it tells her age. She's 12 years of age. And those little heartstrings, those little tender points, I have to admit, they keep me humble. They keep me on my knees many times of praying. This little girl, she lay a dying, verse 42 said, but as he went, the people thronged him. That's talking about Jesus. And she was only 12 years age. And she's just now starting to blossom as a young lady. And the Lord has it in His power as He's journeying, not only to meet this need, but also to meet the needs of another. And He stops long enough to meet the needs of this woman. But Jairus, he can't really understand the needs of this woman because of his own needs. And we get like that. Sometimes, you know, I can't see your needs for my needs, and you can't see my needs for your needs. But the Lord can understand and minister all our needs. The Bible said He supplies our need out of His riches and glory. Verse 43 said, "And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years." Now, how old was Jairus' daughter? And how long has this woman had this issue of blood? It's kind of amazing in that. Which had spent all of her living upon physicians. And I think there's something to be noted about that. That she had went and spent what she had. That tells me, one, that she wanted to get better. But also tells me that they couldn't help her. And yet they still charged her, and they will be glad to charge you. I'm not against doctors. I do go to the doctor, but it's a have-to case. And I do believe the Bible talks about God gave the herb for the service of man. I do believe that there should be medicine. And I do know the Bible talked about Luke being a physician. And I do know that doctors, you know, they do help. I like the great physician. But I have been known to go to just regular physicians, and she went to many, and she spent all she had, but neither could be healed of any of them. Sometimes the issue is one that only God can help in, and I've seen that also several times in situations of people where they've been better off just went to the Lord first. But in this course of getting better, this woman, it was a long course with her. And the healing of Jairus' daughter is now broken in two by the intrusion of this woman who needed also touch from God as much as did the ruler's daughter. But none but Christ could so calmly pause on such an errand of desperation. Now, I thought about this in your mind. You know, I mean, when I'm doing something important, I don't like to be interrupted. Maybe you don't mind it, but it bothers me when I'm doing something important, and sometimes I'm rude, I guess, about being interrupted when I'm doing something important. But that wasn't nothing to the Lord for this interruption to pause as He's on this errand of desperation. And for an ordinary physician, I guess it'd be unthinkable, but Christ, He had time to wait and even let one wait and even die while He took the care of the needs of another. And there's a great point brought out in this lesson here, and I hope we can get it. But one had a great claim upon Him, had as much claim on Him as the other did, and His compassion goes out as much to one as it does to the other. And I'm sure that maybe we might be guilty this morning of thinking that, Brother Eddie, maybe he's more deserving than someone else, but we're all in the same category. We're all heirs. We're all benefactors of the grace of God that He manifested through His Son Jesus, and we all have the same access to the throne of grace and the throne of mercy. But here, they're both making their appeal. And one, I'm sure, is bothered by this interruption, but the Lord's not bothered by it. And His compassion is as much to the one to the other. And by attending to the one, He does not neglect the other. And that's the part that's hard for us to understand. And in us, we can't do that. But we do not rob one another of God's gifts. And God's not weakened by our continual coming to His storehouse, because it'll never be impoverished because so many have come or laid claim. But He actually says to come. He welcomes us to come. He wants us to come. And as often as you want, you can come. It's just different about Him than it is with us. Sometimes I can't handle stress. Sometimes I can't handle the load gets too heavy, and I'll get in a state where I've got to steal away somewhere and try to get my thoughts to myself. But the Lord, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, to cast all our care upon Him, for He cares for us. And In Psalms 55:22 says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he'll sustain thee." But this woman, her issue of blood would not allow her to forbear. In verse 44 said she came behind him, Anita, and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood was stanched. Her touch was a touch of faith. And it was all that was needed to draw the cure. Then the contrast between her many appeals to other physicians or many physicians is the contrast of this right here. A simple touch of faith was all that was needed. The only limitations are the limitations placed by her faith or lack of faith. But she does not stop Jesus as he goes. She just slips in there in this thronging multitude and touched the hem of his garment. Molly mentioned this morning early, she said that he knew that someone had touched him, and that is the Lord. You know, he's touched, the Bible said, by the feelings of our infirmities, and he knew this touch. And he knew who did touch him. This lesson will bring it out here in a minute. But as he goes, she don't stop him. And the only way to heal the daughter of Jairus, but creeps in behind him and puts out a trembling hand. That really is the way it is with you and me. I remember the day I got saved. The thought entered my mind, what will I do if he don't save me? And there is a trembling hand. I mean, until I got saved, I didn't know. And I wanted to be saved. That's the reason I was praying, was to be saved. But until I got saved, I had a little bit of a tremble, wondering, would God forgive me? Would he save me? Have I waited too late? Am I doing it right? And I thought about her and me. I mean, her trembling hand has got enough faith, Molly, that she's willing to reach it out. But until the Lord heals her, she don't know what the outcome's going to be, and yet faith causes her to press through this thronging mob and to reach out a trembling hand and touch the hem of his garment. And when she does, the Bible said, behold, she's made whole. And that's the way it was with me, April 27, 1988. When I did put forth my trembling faith, behold, I was made whole. What's it mean to be made whole, Brother Eddie? I ain't seeking nothing else.
That's right.
And I'm complete, yeah. And I didn't know I had an emptiness, Carolyn. I knew I had a hunger. I knew I had a thirst, and I knew I had tried for 34 years to satisfy that hunger and to satisfy that thirst, and it was to no avail, kind of like that woman there, I guess, Anita. I had tried many physicians, I guess, never thought about it like that, but I'd done the same thing this woman did. I tried this, I tried that. But I'll tell you one thing, just one touch was all that was needed, and I got made whole just like she did. I guess the picture of one being saved is portrayed here. But the hunger to be whole, coupled with the confidence of the one whom she came and trembling touched to him his garment, now made this manifestation of her healing. And you may have feeble faith. You may be hobbled along as upon crutches, even here this morning. Yet if it's real faith, it will be honored by the bank of heaven. And you are eligible to call upon the benefits and blessings of the Lord. And Mark chapter 6, verse 5 through 6, it mentions that the Lord couldn't do no mighty works there because of the unbelief. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, every time Jesus ever done anything, he said, "You believe I can do this." So faith is involved. Faith is necessary. Verse 45, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" Now he's one to ask a question, and there's a reason for it. And when all denied, did that include the woman? Yeah, it did. Yeah, they all denied. I mean, A-L-L, they all denied. And Peter, they with him, said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and says, thou who touched me?" This woman didn't step forward at this point. I mean, what do you do when the Lord just stops and said, "Who touched me?" And here you are. I mean, you're the one. And the reason he stopped is because he does want this to be manifested. But this crowd is so large, she's able to hide amidst this crowd, all this pushing, all this shoving. Who in the world? I mean, a single touch. Who could identify the many hands, you know, that had thrown him and touched him, brushed him. And yet this touch was different.
Way,
yeah.
You know, it's human. We might go through life and we might see people who are in need and things.
Yeah.
And we'll walk on by. We'll do
that's
our
right.
thing. Or we might help them just because we feel like we should.
Right.
But when it truly touches our heart and our soul, and I think that's
you got it right
Jesus,
there.
It pulled something from him.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, we're supposed to do is grow more like Christ, and it pull us. It dig in our hearts and want to. And I think that's the difference.
Bible says having compassion, making a difference in the book of Jude there. But she had an issue and he had the cure. And the thing that made the link between them was faith. The Bible does say without faith it's impossible to please him. But many people pray and prayers differ one from another. Some prayers seem to get through and some seem like, you know, that they don't go nowhere. But the thing that makes a difference is not the prayer, but the faith that goes with that prayer. And the faith does make a difference. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask, believing, you shall receive. And faith is important. I don't pray without faith. As a matter of fact, I believe God. The Bible said that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's rewarded them that diligently seek him. But verse 46, Jesus said, somebody have touched me, for I perceive that virtue's gone out of me. I want you to know he felt something. And Mark 5:29 said she felt something. She felt that she was healed. But he also felt that virtue had gone out from him. And Jesus, his only command is that you believe. And she did believe. And she did receive because of that faith. But look here at verse 47. Don't miss this. When the woman saw she was not healed, I wonder how that happened. I got a feeling Jesus turned around and said, who touched me? Looked right straight at her. Everybody sitting there saying, the Lord, the multitude thrown thee, and thou sayest, who touched me? He's looking right straight at her, Molly. The Bible said she saw she wasn't healed. And there's a reason that he asked her, because he wanted others to know that she had an issue, and he was bigger than the problem. And he was able to help her and Jairus. She came trembling, falling down before him. She declared unto him and before all the people for what cause that she had touched him and that she was immediately healed. Or healed immediately. She would have slipped off quietly, but was constrained. And the work wrought within her deserved voice and proclamation. Her faith is not a faith without fear, but her faith was coupled with fear. Her fear is a reverent one as she cast herself down at his feet and openly declares to the mob that she was whole of her plague. One wonders how she could be silent. I think, I wonder today how we're so silent, you know. And I have been called a fanatic and I don't deny the charge. But I'll tell you one thing, I don't want to be silent. I want to tell what great things the Lord has done. But in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, it says this right here. Likewise, ye wives, be subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation, coupled with fear. And this woman, she had coupled with fear her testimony. But you know, she was given this testimony because the Lord said, who touched me? But I don't know how in the world she could be silent. She certainly wasn't Sister Janelle. Is it Janelle? Is that right?
Janelle.
I'm just picturing Janelle slipping up and touching the hem of Jesus' garment. Woo! Glory! And having one of them hallelujah fits, and I'm just like her. But this woman, she's silent. But then we wonder, even today, how we can be silent over the wonderful transformation of our lives by Jesus. We should be proclaiming within and without about what great things He's done. Verse 48, the Lord tells her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Her testimony was not just a confirmation of healing, but also it's true in our own lives. Our testimony must be confirmed by the testimony of the Lord in our life. I mean, I'll be honest, I burned a bunch of stuff. I went all over Glasgow apologizing. And even today, I'm not the man I was before I met the Lord. And there was a transformation. There was a change. The Bible does say if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things are new. But truly the Master's words were for all who surrender fully to Him. Go in peace. I've been going in peace for 24 years now. Peace. You can't buy peace. You can't borrow peace. You can't go to your neighbor's house, a gala, and say, can I borrow some peace? There's only one place, and the Lord, He's the Prince of Peace. But the good thing about it is He's willing to give that peace. The Bible says about the peace, great peace have they that love, in Psalms 119, verse 165, great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall by any means offend them. If you've got the right kind of peace, you can make it through anything. It's a peace that passes all understanding. It's a peace that's like bedrock. I mean, it's not sand. It's solid. Amen. Verse 49, right in the middle of this wonderful healing, right in the middle of this tremendous testimony, verse 49, the Lord speaking to her while He yet spake about going in peace, daughter, thy faith have made thee whole. While He yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter's dead. Trouble not the Master. And one can't help but think how Jairus must have felt at this delay, with every moment seeming like eternity. And this delay seems to be fatal. And before Christ had made it to His house, the word comes, you know, that the daughter's dead. And the messenger comes with seem like bitterness and blame because of the delay that the Lord had took with this woman. Verse 50 said, but when the Lord heard it, He answered him. Now He's talking to Jairus here. And He says, fear not. Believe only, and she shall be made whole. Now He's confirming the fact that He's still going to help him with his daughter. And let me say this. I know we have worst case scenarios. I've heard testimony of when doctors came in and said, there's nothing we can do. I mean, they've done everything we're going to do and they ain't going to make it. I've seen some godly mom or dad fall down, William, and say, I want to get a second opinion and go down and talk to God about it. And you know, He's affirming the fact that He's still going to help Jairus. Jairus probably has flickering hope right now. And it's about to go out with the news of his daughter's death. But the last possible blow against all his hopes is rekindled by these words, fear not. And how could the calm of storm, how could he be calm with the inward trembling of the news of his daughter? But perhaps Christ's healing of the issue of the blood was for the purpose of strengthening the heart and hope of Jairus. I mean, he had witnessed a miracle here without a woman actually asking for it. And his daughter, now she's dead. She don't have voice to act, nor faculty to believe. And Jairus now, through what just happened, has got faith to believe in her behalf. It ain't been too long ago, I seen Molly come up here and she wanted to be anointed on behalf of another. And that's kind of what Jairus is here. He's believing on behalf of his daughter. He's called upon to fear not, but only believe. And his daughter's done dead. I mean, it's worst case scenario. But the father can believe in her behalf. And he's now got courage that never trembles, hope that never despairs, faith that gives us our characteristics that Christ Jesus can still provide. And he wants his daughter. It's his only daughter. In verse 51, when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother, the maiden. And she was ready for the undertaker, but the undertaker shows up. The comforter, the conqueror of death, now comes in. And verse 52, all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth. Now, those sayings can sign a count. Those sayings kind of sound sarcastic. These mourners are mourning and bewailing this girl. And their mourning's cut short by the dryer of tears, the calmer of all fears. And you can measure the shallowness of their grief by the fact that they start laughing. That's how much they cared about this girl. They didn't have any faith. They're laughing. They're laughing at the words that she's going to live. They're laughing at the fact that he said she's not dead but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she is dead. And that kind of worked to his good, because now they're eyewitnesses of the fact of the resurrection. Jesus told Martha, he said, "I am the resurrection. Your brother will live." And he put them all out, and he took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And God's departed are not dead, but sleep in Jesus. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14, 15, Paul said, "I'll not have you be ignorant concerning them which sleep. But them which sleep in Christ Jesus will God bring with him when he comes." And these are comforting words to you and me as much as they were to Jairus. He said, "She's not dead, she sleeps." They laughed. He took her by the hand, said, "Maid, arise." Verse 55, "Her spirit came again and she arose. And straightway he commanded to give her meat. And he restored her whole as she was before." And verse 56, "Her parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done." The publicizing of this event, while this would be a noble purpose, would stand in the way of God's plan. And Christ could only be hindered rather than helped. Even good medicine is of little worth when one whom it's ministered to is in no need of it. But it's a good lesson for you and me, and we can apply this lesson even today. But even though the doctors say it's too late, even though the doctors say it's terminal, even though the news is in worst case scenario, that we can get a second opinion. And I'll tell you what, I'm glad not only that He's the conqueror, but I'm glad He's the Christ. I'm glad, praise God, that He has all power, and I'm glad He does all things well. I don't know about you, but I know where to go first. Amen. And when I go to Him first, and sometimes it does work out where I do end up going to the doctor. I've done it. I don't like doing it, but I do. But I'd rather go to the Lord and not have to go no further. Amen. All right.
There's one thing that Satan don't want us to do, and that's to go tell what God has done.
That's true.
He wants to shut our mouths up.
That's true, Mother. That's true. Now, I mentioned about this would interfere with the plan of God, because had they tried to take him and make him king, which, you know, that would have been what they would have wanted, because, I mean, how do you got anybody like this for a king? I mean, he can raise the dead. He raised this daughter dead. He healed this woman of this issue of blood. He raised Lazarus and did 4 days. I mean, why not make him king? That wasn't God's plan. He had to die. After he died, now he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So that's why he didn't want that noise to brawl, because it would interfere with the plan of God. And no doubt we'd like to have a king like that, and I'm glad I do have a king like that. Amen. I'm glad I do know one's able to raise the dead. I'm glad I do know one, praise God, that all in the grave is going to hear his voice. I'm glad I do have one, praise God, that's able to say, "Go in peace, fear not." Amen. Hallelujah. All right. We'll try to stop right there. I'm trying to be a little more punctual on these Sunday school times here. I know I'll go in over.